This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's bring in Michael Coyne.
Hey,
Dean
Brian.
Of the Maskul Law. What's up, buddy? I know you're deep in the Karen Reed stuff. I'm awful confused. I mean, I don't want to go through the Karen Reed case. It's too confusing. It's very convoluted. But they had a trial, and now they're having another trial. Like, just explain quickly what the heck is going on.
The first trial, the jury was unable to reach a verdict. They did not return a verdict in open court, so all three charges, including second-degree murder, vehicular homicide, and leaving the scene, are all being retried as early as next week. They'll start impaneling a jury, which will be difficult because of all the publicity that the case has received.
Is there fatigue, or are people still going bananas for the story?
No, they're even more involved and polarized with respect to the case. Some people feel that she's a victim of police misconduct and being railroaded, and others believe she's 100% guilty. So, and those groups have grown. So, no, it's not lessening. The eyeballs on this case will be significant.
Michael Coyne, Dean of the Mass School of Law, joining us. The reason why I wanted to have you on was this dynamic that's going on where some people were questioning whether the Trump administration was ignoring court orders, and then there was a call to impeach a judge who gave an unfavorable ruling, and there's real concern about separation of powers. But I think that those concerns are legitimate, although President Trump said, listen, the buck stops with John Roberts, and the Supreme Court is the Supreme Court no matter what. But I do find, I will say, and I want to hear, because I struggle with what's the first question here, so I do find sometimes I read about a judge's decision and what he or she says, and I'm like, that doesn't seem founded in precedent or the Constitution. It just seems to be the judge's opinion. So, I mean, are there judges out there who are not doing their job the way they're supposed to be doing it?
Yeah, sure there are, on both sides of the equation, right? I mean, it's not just whether you want to paint them as conservative or liberal or Democrat or Republican appointees. The fact is, some judges do not follow the law. And when they don't, though, the proper procedure is you appeal that decision to the higher court, and if you don't like that decision, you appeal it to the next higher court. That's the way our process in the rule of law is supposed to work. But most judges do, in fact, follow the law and try to enforce it as the law is written, whether they agree with it or not. But there's always going to be exceptions, but that's why we have appeals, and that's why Chief Justice Roberts said, you know, you don't start to talk about impeachment if you don't like the decision. You appeal it, and that's the way the process is supposed to work. So it is a check and balance on the various branches of power in our country.
Are you worried about the way the system is being challenged?
Not the way the system's being challenged, the way in which we're presently operating. But to be fair, these executive orders didn't begin under President Trump. If you remember, President Biden used them extensively as well, including one that said student loan borrowers don't have to pay back their loans. And that was challenged in court and ultimately overturned because of the it was too much of a reach and a grab for power. And so I think the same thing we're going to see play out with the various executive orders here. You know, executive orders can be used under certain limited circumstances, but we didn't appoint or elect a king. We elected a single person to act on behalf of the country in coordination with Congress, in coordination with the courts. And that's where we have gone a little too far with them. But we saw it earlier on, and that the process is, if the executive order goes too far, it's challenged in court by people who have standing, and then the courts examine whether that power that the president exercised is appropriate, or does Congress need to act as well in the normal manner in which legislation is made.
Just really quick, Ron of Waterbury won the tickets to Paul Inc. on the 21st at Mohegan Sun, so if you're on hold, you can try again tomorrow. We're here with Michael Coyne, Dean of the Massachusetts School of Law. You know, I get a lot of notes and messages and emails, and, you know, this show is, we have D's and R's on an equal measure, but the station leans to the right after 9 a.m. And people ask a lot, is there any recourse for a judge who seems to be out of control? Like, is there a removal of judge process here in America?
Well, the removal normally would be an impeachment process. But, you know, it may be surprising to people, but there are administrative bodies within the courts that do, in fact, look at the judicial decisions and then look at what happens to those cases on appeal. Judges do not like to be overturned on appeal. And if they're consistently overturned on appeal, then someone higher up, there are supervisory judges who will, in fact, call that person in and say, what the heck is going on here? Your last 9 cases that went up to the Court of Appeals, all of them were overturned. And when you have a record along those lines, then potentially you have a case that might warrant the start of impeachment process, or a suggestion that maybe they should take a senior status or retire or whatever. But there is a supervisory process within right. The courts that does try to examine whether, in fact, the judge is doing their duties appropriately.
Now,
but the normal process would be impeachment if you believe they're really not carrying out their duties.
And something that seems to happen on both sides, so this is a right down the middle question, is sort of like judge shopping. Is that a problem?
No, that's what you pay us for. So in all honesty, that's what you pay lawyers for, is their knowledge of the system, their attempt to try and get a case before a judge who may be leaning one way that you want that court to go. That is the nature of the process. And, you know, I teach civil procedure, so we talk about it there as well, is that the courts, you know, they might poo-poo forum shopping, but if this is an appropriate court that has the jurisdiction to hear the case, there is nothing wrong with that case being presented to that court. There are avenues for the other side to say, well, we should transfer it to a different court, and what they're trying to do is right. Transfer it to a more favorable forum and more favorable judge for themselves.
So I'd like to summarize here just really quickly, because we got to run. The system, in your opinion, is working. It might be bending, but it's not breaking.
That's correct. And the break will come if the president decides that the buck no longer stops with the Supreme Court of the United States, it stops with me. That's where you've got this constitutional crisis that people are worried about, because at the end of the day, you can poo-poo a district court decision, you can even poo-poo a court of appeals decision, but at the end of the day, the way our system is set up, the Supreme Court of the United States has the last word on what our constitutional rights are, what our federal rights are, and how the law should apply to those cases.
Awesome. Thank you, sir. Always appreciate the insight.
Okay. See you, Brian.
Michael Coyne, Dean of the Massachusetts School of Law, joining us here on Brian & Company.